And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. I'm your host, Jen, and I'm very excited to talk about today's episode. But before we begin, there will be spoilers as we talk about major events that unfold within the story. In addition, each episode will have a list of trigger warnings in the description. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at The Book Stop Podcast and show your support on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. And today, for the first time ever, we are joined with...
Hi, I'm Abby.
And what book did you bring and why did you bring it?
I brought Legendborn by Tracy Dion. One of the reasons I really wanted to read it is because I heard it was a great story with a lot of fantasy elements as well as a lot of relevant topics to today's world and society.
Heck yeah, very excited to talk about this one. But before we hop into it, we're going to play a little game. So you are going to summarize this book in 30 seconds. Whenever you're ready, you may begin.
Okay, so Legendborn follows the main character, Bree, who is a young black girl, and she joins a all-white secret society. She gets into an early college program, and she kind of joins the secret society and learns more about the magic world to magic events with demons and creatures, as well as following the King Arthur and the Round Table storyline.
Perfect. That sums it up pretty well, yeah. I'm going to summarize it for anybody who hasn't heard of this book. After a tragic car accident takes the mother of 16-year-old Bree Matthews, she wants nothing to do with her family memories or her childhood home. The residential program for bright high schoolers at UNC seems like the perfect escape until Bree witnesses a magical attack on her very first night on campus. Now that Bree knows there's more to her mother's death, she'll do whatever it takes to find out the truth, even if it means infiltrating a secret society of monster-hunting students called Legendborn. Once Bree joins, the trials of becoming a Legendborn unlocks her own unique magic and a buried memory, but when the Legendborn reveal themselves as a descendant of King Arthur's knights and explain that there's a magical war coming, Bree has to decide how far she'll go for the truth and whether she should use her magic to take the society down or join the fight. So we're going to go ahead and get started. What is one of your favorite quotes?
My favorite quote is, "But when your entire world is shattering, a little bit of magic is nothing." This was actually in the prologue of the book, but it's relevant throughout the entire story, even when she learns more about magic and it being real. And she learns that even though magic's real, her loss of her mother is still more important. So I think it kind of tied into the entire story and having it be in that first 1% of the book, I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, especially because she doesn't know anything about magic at that point in her life. She doesn't find out until later in the story. So one of the quotes that I had was from her father. He says, "Don't make your life about loss. Make it about love." Just talking about how Bree has kind of slipped into herself after her mother had passed. I think that her relationship with her father is such a driving force for her. And having her dad kind of be like, "Hey, don't focus so much on this, focus on the things that matter," was a nice touch.
I actually was deciding between that one and this one.
Yeah, very short, sweet, simple, but it has such a driving force. My other one was at the beginning of the book when Bree, she was talking to this football player and his girlfriend, and he had mentioned saying that, "Oh, aren't you the girl whose mom died?" And she instantly puts up her walls, which she talks about a lot in this book. And the quote is, "My walls works two ways. It hides the things I need to hide and helps me show the things I need to show." I really like this one because it shows the two separate lives that she has.
Yeah.
With her being introduced to this new world as well as trying to hold on to the old world. Yeah, so let's hop over to some things that we liked about the book.
I really liked the fantasy elements because it wasn't so in-your-face fantasy because it brought up so many important topics. Mm-hmm. But I liked the magic element. I liked the secret society element. It was kind of more of a darker story than I anticipated, which I also enjoyed. But I really enjoyed the topics that were brought up, race and grief and loss and everything. And then the way that she also incorporated things that were never fully mentioned, Greer's pronouns being they, them, that was never even mentioned. It was just kind of
a natural
flow, which I enjoyed as a part of the story. And I think a lot of the topics were brought up really well, too.
Yeah, with the pronouns, like, I like that they didn't talk about it. It was there and
it wasn't forced.
Yeah. A lot of books where they do that, where they try to introduce, like, a non-binary character, nobody else ever mentions their pronoun, but the second a non-binary character comes in, they're like, oh, by the way, my pronouns are they, them. Well, this one is just a completely natural thing. I did really like that too. I really like that ether, which is their term for magic, is everywhere. Whether we see it or not, I really like how we get to interact with it within the story and how the weapons and the armor kind of come out of nowhere and form from that ether. I thought that was really well done to introduce that into the story.
Yeah.
I really liked the people of color in this book, especially the women. And having a main character as a person of color was awesome. When she, like, had her hair washing days and how in-depth was self-care and she felt better after it was a really nice touch. I really liked that. It was really refreshing to have a character that focused on those stuff, not just always the action-packed stuff, but also taking care of themselves. Was really nice.
Yeah.
I love that everyone in this story was gay. I feel like everyone was gay.
A lot of them were gay.
Or somewhere on the spectrum.
Yeah, a lot of characters were, which was very interesting because I also think I just recently read a couple books where everybody was gay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you read the Dark Olympus series, but literally everybody in that book. It's
on my list now.
They're gay. Every single person in the story is gay or bi or part of the LGBT mm-hmm. community. That's so nice. I read that right before I read this, so it was like the same.
Yeah. I like it, and they do it so naturally. Like, Tracy does it so naturally. William, for example, never really mentions that he has a love interest until Bree asks, like, well, is there somebody that you're with? And he was like, yeah, I have a boyfriend that I'm in love with and all this kind of stuff. It's just so naturally placed in there. I love it. When Sel was like, maybe that's the reason I fell in love with Nick. And I was like, oh my God, didn't see it coming, but
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, what are some things that you didn't like about this book?
I hated that they were 16. I don't know why they couldn't have just been in a normal college situation. Why did it have to be an early college program? That whole factor didn't really make much sense to me because she could have easily wrote the story as, oh, they're freshmen in college.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that bothered me, and it bothered me more into the second book too, just because they are so young. And I want to know how old Nick was.
I think he was 17 because I looked it up.
Oh.
Because I was suspicious.
I thought he was like 22. I was like, I'm not a big fan of this.
Yeah. I think he was 17 because I was also like, this is sketchy. I don't like it.
And no. I also didn't like the lack of communication she had with her dad. All he wanted her to do was talk to her, just send her a text message, and she mm-hmm. just kept putting it off. And it's like, girl, you could die any minute. You should text your dad. So I didn't like that either.
Yeah.
But the actual storyline, there wasn't really anything I didn't like besides their ages. That really made me mad.
Yeah, I agree. I think they definitely could have been aged up. Just to 18 would have been fine. I didn't like how they were so hormonal, I guess. And you can still have an 18-year-old and still have those experiences that they're experiencing in this book. So I did not like that either.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of weird that they were in a college setting. I get it was an early college program, probably mm-hmm. to show how smart both Alice and Bree are, but I don't know why they couldn't have just been 18.
Yeah. I have a red blood mark. You have. Does their age, do they age up at all, or does it pick up, like, right at the end
it
of this book?
It picks up right after. Or maybe, like, a week and a half after. It's okay. Pretty much right after. The events lead into each other.
Yeah, I think an age jump would definitely help. Some things that I didn't like, I found this book a little confusing.
It was confusing.
Yeah, I read the half of it, and then I was like, I have to restart because I'm confused. So I felt very in the dark with a lot of the stuff, especially the squire and the knights and, like, that aspect. There's a lot of titles thrown around. Even, like, just having the mages and, like, the wizards, I guess, have a different name through everything out. I really love high fantasy, and I totally get first book, you gotta introduce everything.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of all thrown in all at once. Confused me. There's also a lot going on. Right when I think I have picked up what's going on, even to the end of the book, I'm like, oh, I got it. I know what's going on now. Then they throw something else, and I'm like, I'm off my tracks again. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. There was a ton of world building in it, and I think it wasn't as relevant in the second book, the world building, because you kind of already knew the world and understood it, but the world building was definitely a very confusing element.
I think it could have been laid out better where it wasn't so overwhelming, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Another thing I really noticed was the conversations felt very unnatural and, like, blocky. It was very much like serve your purpose and then move on. The only time I was comfortable when she was talking to anyone was Alice and William. Those felt okay, but everyone else, it was just, it didn't feel like a teenager was talking. It really didn't even feel like it was a character talking.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like Patricia as a character too, but I felt like a lot of that stuff too was a little confusing and felt kind of forced. Like, Bree didn't even want to be there. Mm-hmm. I wish that she would have liked her more off the bat. She liked Mariah, and I kind of just wish they would have just brought one person in rather than two, because she was already weary of Patricia, and then, but bringing Mariah really helped. And obviously that was an extremely important part of the story.
Yeah.
But I do feel like a lot of the conversations were forced.
I understand the weight of them. I understand that they have to set up stuff for later on, but just the way that they were talking, even the texts were kind of weird. When she was talking to one cheerleader girl, I can't remember her name. It felt just very, like, they just didn't feel like teenagers to me. And maybe she was trying to do that to age them up, to make them feel like more like college students, but it felt weird to me. I also very surprised of the lack of people of color in this book. Like you had said, she had joined an all-white, like, secret society of the Legendborn. I was expecting there to be just somebody else for her to connect with, and her dad really pushed for her to find a black community within the school. She just never did. So I was really hoping for more, and we just didn't get that.
That it was done intentionally to make the two parts of her magic come together. There's definitely more people of color in the second book.
Okay, awesome. Good.
So, I'm glad. Yeah, there was definitely some parts of that that I didn't like, because there were some characters that could have easily been made people of color instead in this society, but unfortunately there wasn't, so I don't think she really got that connection that she was looking for through this secret society that she didn't even intentionally want to join, but she kind of got roped into it.
Yeah. Like, I know she, it could have been, like, a seclusion thing. Like, she was joining the society and was looked down upon because she was a person of color, and I think she hinted at that enough to kind of pick up that vibe. But yeah, I was kind of sad. I wish there was a little bit more, but I'm glad there's more in the next book. The last thing I didn't really like about this book, and it's kind of a biggie, I really did not like Bree. I just didn't like her character development, I think. It felt recycled. Like, a lot of things felt like the same. She would go here, get attacked by a monster, and then run away. It was just, like, the same thing over and over again. I don't know. I expected her to kind of, as our main character, stand up for herself a little bit more.
I actually really liked Bree, but I can see why someone wouldn't, because of all the points you just listed, she could have stood up for herself more, but I do think everything was done, like, pretty intentionally. Mm-hmm. I think she was probably more scared to stand up for herself, especially in the beginning, because she was seen as more of an outcast. But I really liked the part where everyone was touching her hair and she just got, like, pissed about it. Because I just feel like that is something that people might not necessarily think of, but it would be very annoying.
Yeah,
absolutely. Especially when you don't wash your hair that often. You don't want people touching it. Mm-hmm. And the way your hair is and the type of curls she has and everything relevant to her, I don't think the other people in the story could really understand that. Mm-hmm. Besides Alice.
Yeah, I love her design, like, who she is as a person. It's just her development. Maybe there's more later on. And I think at the end, she just seemed, like, a little too powerful, I think. She had, like, too much power going on, because she had three types of power in her. She had her grandma possessing her, or, like, in her head. She's also the reincarnation of King Arthur, and, like, it was a lot going on, and I'm interested to see how she gets through all of that and is able to control it, but it just seemed like a little much at the end. So the next thing I really want to talk about is Alice and Bree. So Alice being her best friend of, like together since they were kids. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the story, they have this big fight, and I don't know if I loved it a ton. It felt like they were trying to just seclude Bree to go to the society and, like, push her there.
I agree with that.
I think Alice is not used properly in the sense that she could have been more useful showing the difference between the worlds, of showing the Legendborn side and the Onceborn side. I did like the callback of Davis bringing Alice there and, like, torturing her. Don't, okay, let me say that differently.
I like that she was tortured.
I like that she was tortured. No. I like that she was used to push our main character to drive her to get to the end of the story. But I think that she could have been in a little bit more.
Yeah, I think she definitely could have been in more of the story. I really liked Alice as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her relationship with Bree. I didn't really like their fight, but at the same time, it is kind of a fight you would have. Like, mm-hmm. the fight makes sense.
Yes.
And it's a stupid fight, but I do think it was probably used to drive Bree towards the Legendborn. Then she had to, like, continually lie to Alice about what she was doing and where she was going. I didn't like the lying aspect. Maybe included Alice a little more, so I'm glad that she was included more of the story at the end.
Yeah, I can see why they added her for tension building. She has to be secretive because obviously her dad isn't here. I like that she told on her. Like, literally texted her dad. It's like,
hey, I do too.
Your daughter's being insane right now. Yeah, having the fight, it is very much like they're young adult. Oh, they're teenagers. Technically, teenager fight of like when you move in with somebody or going to college, you change as a person. And I like that she talked about, like, Tracy talks about that. But I just wish that Alice was used more. Is she more in the second book?
She's in a lot of the second book, and she's definitely more of a relevant character, which is probably why I really like Alice, just because I did read the second book.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that she's actually, like, pulled into the story more. Because, I mean, you gotta at that point. You know, she's her best friend. I feel like she wouldn't just completely ditch her just for this Nick guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I want to talk about the plot for a little bit. I, again, was very confused most of the time. But it felt lack of drive for most of it. In the sense that she's doing all this stuff, becoming part of the society to learn about her mother, knowing that there was more to her death than just a car accident.
Yeah.
Lack of, for the readers to care. Because we don't see enough of her mother to really care about her as a character. Like, we see Bree's personality, but all we really know is that they had that fight and that her mother hid a lot of stuff from her.
When I was reading it, I had heard so many good things about this book and how it was amazing, and I was kind of waiting for the amazing part,
mm-hmm.
in which the end was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah.
But I felt like at first the book was kind of, it was very slow. There was a lot of world building. It was a little boring at some places, but once I go back and think about it, I did really like the whole story. I think it was harder to get into than I expected it to be.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it is the terminology of everything and not really understanding what's going on. The second time I read through it, it made more sense for sure. Maybe this is one of the books you kind of have to read a couple times to pick up on everything. Everything was so placed in such a particular order that it didn't give that, like, flow that books normally have. It was very much like, go here, do this, go here, do this. So yeah, same thing. I was kind of waiting for it to get good. And I think the ending was really well done. I really liked the ending. The driving force of all of it, I kind of was like, I didn't really see it. So who would you say in this one is your favorite character?
I had a hard time deciding who my favorite character was. I actually really liked Sal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was going to like him, but I kind of liked the angstiness as well. Yeah. As he was a very complex character, and I think I always kind of root for a complex character, but I also did really like Bree still.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice. I those were my top three. I really didn't like many others.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I liked Sel a lot, and I did like Bree. I thought that she was a really powerful character, and I think she has a lot of room to grow. So I think that's probably why I liked her. And I just thought Alice was a good friend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Bree has a lot of room to grow. And I think that's cool to have a character that you don't know where they're going, isn't completely fleshed out by the end of the first book. For the others, as you mentioned, I think there was maybe too many characters in here to keep track of everything.
I think there was.
Yeah, it was giving me Divergent vibe. Or maybe like Hunger Games, along the lines of that. I could definitely see this toe-to-toe as that. Even though it's not really dystopian, but you get the vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I also like Sel. He gave me Zuko vibes. Zuko from Avatar, not Grisa. Ugh, grumpy vibes. I did think it was funny that he was always third wheeling with Nick and Bree all the time.
Yeah.
I did like Alice as well. I think my favorite, though, is William.
Oh, I do like William. Yeah. I didn't name him, but I did like William. I was rooting for her and William to be together, and then he ended up being gay, so I was like, okay, never mind. But he was, like, the first person who was really nice to her.
Yeah.
Like, accepted her right off the bat and didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he found out about her magic earlier than everyone else, and it didn't bother him or anything. And I think that's because he's also a really powerful character.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where he goes in the story. If he dies, I'm gonna be really upset. No spoilers, but I'm gonna be really upset. I liked him. He was working overtime in this book.
He was. He was healing everybody.
Especially Nick. Also, how is Nick still alive? I feel like he's getting attacked every turn in this book. But no, William is a vital part of the story. If you didn't have him, no one would be able to walk or
they would have all died without him.
He's also really important for the storytelling. He tells her almost every piece of information, the hierarchy and the reincarnation, like everything on the ether side, he tells her everything almost. So he's really important. I really like him. I hope he's in it more in the second book. And not just healing everybody. I hope he's a character. I want to see his boyfriend. Did they say who his boyfriend is? I know he's part of Legendborn, but I can't remember exactly
what they said. I don't think so. I don't really think his boyfriend's mentioned that much.
Gasp. Oh my gosh.
At least I'm trying to remember, but I don't think he really is.
William deserves better.
He does. He should have been the main character. Just kidding. He should have been the main love interest.
Oh my gosh, that would change the whole story if he was the main character, but I would read it. Absolutely. We're going to take a second here to shout out the Patreon subscribers.
Nick W, Bree P, Jack J, Shelby K, Patrick C, Tim M, Emily P, Ashley A, Anastasia H, Janeth P, and Lulu.
Thank you guys so much for subscribing and supporting the podcast. It means literally the world to me. I have so much fun doing this, and I'm glad that, you know, some people are listening to it. That's pretty cool. If you guys want to be part of the Patreon shout out, head over to Patreon and subscribe today. So Patricia is her counselor, therapist, along the lines of that. I love that she was introduced as a therapist. I love the emphasis of therapy and supporting Bree in her time of grief and having someone to talk to. I wish she would have utilized her a little bit more, but I understand not comfortable with it. She did kind of feel like a plot device to show her the root stuff.
Yeah.
I wish she would have waited to introduce the root stuff. Was it Rootcraft?
Rootcraft, yeah.
Rootcraft. I wish she would have waited a little bit instead of first or second time she met her.
Patricia really just dragged Bree into a lot of stuff. And yeah. I think Bree was already being dragged into a lot of stuff, so it was kind of overwhelming for her.
Mm-hmm.
Why she had some animosity towards her at first. But their relationship did grow in the end, and their relationship was obviously vital. But I would agree she was kind of a plot device.
When she brought her to the graveyard and had the memory lane, we'll call it, thing with the Rootcraft, which is another question I have for the time skips for the memory scenes. When Bree was in this moment of watching her ancestors, just the events that happened, is she kind of stuck in time? Like, does time continue to go, or does it freeze? I was kind of confused on that.
I think she's just kind of watching in time. I don't know if you watched Wednesday.
I watched the first episode.
So when Wednesday like goes through time, she's a bystander. Like she can see everything that's happening,
mm-hmm.
but that time is still continuing where she's kind of just like a time traveler watching. Okay. But I don't think she can really do anything to change the events of those times.
Yeah. Because it comes in the middle of the book and then again at the end with her grandmother, understanding where her hierarchy and, like, her ancestors come from. I thought the Rootcraft was really cool, and I really like that we get those two separate magic systems, the ether and then there's the root magic.
Yeah.
Super cool. I loved the two different systems. I just wish there was a little bit more. I'm guessing the second book probably
It explains both sides of the magic more.
Awesome. Good. I'm excited to read about that. Yeah, Patricia, her knowing her mother was a little weird. Her dad was like, yeah, she knew your mom. But then Patricia was like, I didn't really know her. Yeah. I just knew her for the Rootcraft.
So, question. In the first book, see, like, I read them back to back, so I can't remember. Did they explain, like, what actually happened to her mom in the first book, or was that in the second book?
What I remember is her mom was working with the Order, and that the car accident ended up being just a car accident, but it was maybe played off by the Order, because they said that Bree's mother's mother also died very young. So that was like a thing that happened in their family, is that they die young.
Yeah, they all do. It's slightly mentioned in the first book, and then very it goes slightly. In a lot more depth in the second book.
Okay,
cool. Of like why everything happens.
Yeah, I don't think it mentions much of like why it happened. It was because I think Cell is also finding out about his mother at the same time. So it was more focused on like Cell than her.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't remember it going into like hyper detail at all. Excited to read the second book to find out more. Cell, we haven't talked about him enough.
I really liked Cell. He was a really good character. He was a strong character. He was angry for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really explained in the second book.
I'm so excited.
Like, he's very prominent in the second book. If you like him now, I think like of him will grow.
Yeah, I definitely felt an enemies to lovers vibe with Cell, so I'm having a feeling that they're gonna end up together. Yeah, I'm excited. I think he's an underrated character in this, from their first book at least. But I get you're supposed to, like, get on Nick's side, and like, Nick and Bree, but...
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Which bloodline would you be a descendant of?
Oh, I would want to be whichever one William is from.
Sir Gawain, I think.
Yeah, and the color's emerald green, and that's my favorite color, so that's the one I would want to be a part of.
That's the one I said,
too. And, like, they're not as much of the forefront of the fighting.
Yeah, like, they're definitely...
I could just heal everyone and be happy.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about hurting yourself.
I wouldn't want to be Lancelot or King Arthur. That's, like, too much power, and I don't think I would do good with that kind of power. Like, I wouldn't want to be one of... What is it? They're like the descendants of them. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be that. I would want to be the like squire, the scion. That's how I said it.
Scion.
I want to be that.
Yeah, no, I definitely wouldn't want to be like the top three. No, yeah. Just sign me up.
I wouldn't want to have that pressure on me, but I would like to be the little assistant that just like kind of helps.
Yeah, I vibe with that. I'd be like the cleric. I don't want to be the person that's doing the damage. I want to heal the damage.
But I don't want to be William. I want to be William's little assistant.
Yes. Oh, that'd be so much fun. Just hanging out with William.
Besides what happened with him.
Oh.
William's little assistant.
Oh, what happened to William's
little assistant? He died, and then he was killed.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I wouldn't want to die, but...
You'll be the assistant that replaces him.
Yeah, I would want to be that one. I wouldn't want to be, like, the actual descendant. I would just want to be, like, there.
Yeah.
The vibes.
For the vibes.
In the little, like, infirmary. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't this entire place, like, just live in a lodge? Like, a cabin?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so weird. Just in the woods, too. I get you're trying to be secretive and try to, like, hide out. But sometimes hiding in plain sight helps, too.
Yeah. Also, when stuff goes wrong, then you gotta travel back to your little house far away.
Oh my god, I just remembered something. Cell freaking making a callback to Twilight.
What did he say?
Oh my god, so they were running through the woods to get somewhere. I can't remember off the top of my head. And Cell was like, well, why don't you get on my back? Like that movie. And he's like, well, I'm not a vampire. And I was like, I love this.
I remember that. I didn't remember until you just said it, but that was funny.
Making the call back to Edward. See, I like subtle modern day inclusions like that. Some books just go like too hard. This one is very subtle. Like there isn't a ton in there, which still gives it a modern feel.
I think it's supposed to take place in modern day. Like it's not like a secret past world or anything.
Definitely like our world, which is nice because it doesn't go into like talk about Kim Kardashian or Instagram or anything like that and still give a modern feel to it.
I like when they have cell phones.
Yeah, it makes
to contact
so much easier.
Everyone else, because every other book I read, when they don't have cell phones, I'm like, this is so confusing. You can't just call the person.
Let's make a send a pigeon over.
It'd be a lot easier if you could just call or text them.
It definitely helped. And I liked when Nick was like, contact her for a week and she's just completely ignoring and actually like studying and doing her homework and stuff. Yeah, it adds a nice being able to do like a modern but also a fantasy.
Yeah.
So who would you say is your favorite relationship?
My favorite relationship is between Alice and Bree. I think I just liked Alice a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They really understood each other. Bree was kind of rude to her at the beginning, but she was also, like, under a lot of pressure. And I liked that Alice was there for her, and, like, she did tell on Bree to her dad, which I just feel like is a very realistic aspect of a close, lifelong friendship. Yeah. I would tell on my friends to their parents if something was seriously going on. So I think I definitely liked their relationship the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it gives that the realistic vibe to it. You know, she's concerned about her friend, and she's not listening to her or even coming home half the time. I'm sure her dad asked Alice to watch her, too, making sure she's eating and going to school and stuff, and calls her out for not doing that. She's not, like, silently sitting around waiting. Yells at her and is like, hey, you're not who you are anymore. Talk to me. And, yeah, I really like them, too.
Yeah.
I said that my favorite was William and Bree. He was the first one at the society to call her a friend. And every time she goes in to see William, she's like, oh, there's my friend. I love it. It was so cute.
He was definitely, like, the best person in Legendborn society to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he was her first friend and the first person to truly, like, accept and understand her, I think.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where Sel and Bree go. I do think they're endgame, but I don't think there was enough in this one to really be 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm on the fence with it. I don't know if they're going to end up together. I know they have that connection.
But how old is Sel?
That's another thing I
was going to
say.
Is he 22?
It's like, I don't know how Sel
is. I, like, picture him as, like, 21. And so that just, like, makes me mad.
Yeah. I'm hoping that he's under 18, but not in a weird
why
way.
Why are they all under 18 in this college thing, then? That's why I'm like, why couldn't they just been 18 from the beginning? Why do they have to be 16?
I have no idea why she would do that.
I did not like that, and I don't think it was explained.
Yeah.
There was probably a reason that I just missed, but I was mad about it the whole time I was reading. I had to, like, put it out of my brain that she was 16.
Yeah, I think what you said about them being really smart is kind of, like, emphasize on that. But maybe if age comes into play at all in the next book, I'm not sure. Because I know they said that ether or, like, your descendants shows between the ages of 16 and 24. Easily could have made them 18.
18.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just work here. So, ending. Ending was a lot. I loved it. It was very fast-paced. It got everything going. Finding out that Davis is the kind of the antagonist. Finding out that Bree is the descendant of Arthur. Finding out that Grandma comes into play. Excited to see where that goes. I think it was really well played out of how it all happened. It's just like the ending fell off really fast. So, and I know there's another book. That's why. What were your thoughts on the ending?
I really liked the ending. I liked it a lot. I was very hooked throughout the end and immediately started the next book because I was so, like, wrapped into that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ending kind of proves how intelligent Bree is when she noticed that, but whoever was walking with her, she couldn't hear their footsteps. They were not a person, that they were
a demon. And he's like, you are really smart. It's not Evan, is it? It might have been. Yeah, it is Evan.
Yeah, so I kind of like that, and I think that's where the book really picked up.
Yeah, so when Evan was being, like, possessed or whatever was going
on. Yeah, like, he was killed prior, and Sel knew that there was a demon or this monster amongst them.
Yeah. I like that she wasn't afraid to sacrifice the characters. And, like, Evan we've known since the beginning of the book, and he ends up dying, and then there's, like, Fritz or whatever his name is. Sorry, Fritz. I was really surprised that she was willing to kill off these characters.
But the whole ending of her having all this infinite power, basically, at the end was kind of a lot.
Yeah, I think she was a little too powerful at the end, but I'm excited to see where it goes and how she kind of balances that, especially with other Bree, which we're going to talk about in a second. But you want to play a little game?
Yeah.
So I have a list of events that happen within this book, and you're just going to try to put them in order.
I put first party crash by a demon, the cliff jumping party, because that was close to the beginning, and then meeting a golden retriever of a man, which would be Nick. And then, this is where I got confused, knocked out by a guy named Vaughn. That was towards, like, when she first was in this whole situation, but I don't remember for sure. And then, Rootcraft walked down memory lane with Patricia. Then the scavenger hunt, so the second trial. Then I'm going to say the callback to cliff jumping. This is the one I really don't know. A week of solo Bree when she leaves Nick alone, I think, because she, like, didn't want to talk to him. And then time to squire up. Pretty sure she didn't talk to him, and then she became his squire.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's possessed by her grandma.
Yeah, really good. I think you only had two of them flipped in the wrong
place.
So here's the order of the correct events.
Okay.
So party crashed by a demon, meeting a golden retriever of a man. Also, we really didn't talk about Nick at all, and I kind of like it. Okay.
I didn't like Nick, so that's probably why.
It's probably because his name is Nick. And then it's Rootcraft walk down memory lane, and then it's a little scavenger hunt, and then it's knocked out by a guy named...
Okay. I knew the middle was where I was going to get confused.
Yeah, but you got the last of it is a week of solo Bree, time to square up, possessed by grandma, call back to cliff jumping.
That's at the end?
Yes, that's at the very end. So her and Cell go into the forest, and she finally jumps off of the cliff.
So is the grandma she's possessed by, is that her grandma, or is it...
I think it's her great-great-grandma.
Like, it's one of the grandmas, like, down the descendant line. What was her name? Do we know?
Vera. I know for sure it's her grandma, because she kept
calling
her
grandma. She's in the line, but there's, like, a million of them. Yeah. As you'll see in the second book, they talk about all of them.
No, I'm going to get so confused, and I'm already confused.
It's not that part's not confusing. Okay. It just will make you mad.
Oh, no. I'm kind of scared now. What are some things that you would have done differently, would have changed? Just your own personal opinion if you were writing this book. For example, I would have waited to introduce magic. They introduce it literally in the first chapter. She meets Cell at the cliff jumping party, and then she sees the demon, and then there's magic already. I would have waited a little bit longer to introduce the magic, just to give the reader some suspense of like, oh, what's going on? Maybe give the illusion that it's not magic and then it is magic. I know that magic is obviously the focal point of this book, but I would have just liked it to leave a little confusion for the readers in the sense of what's out there, what's going on, instead of just putting it right in our face.
Yeah.
The other thing is we've been talking about a lot, their ages. I really wish that they were at least 18. Would have preferred like a 20, 21-year-old. And then the last thing I said was more Alice and her mom. Alice being, I know she's more important in the second book, which is awesome, but I wish there was more emphasis of that other world. With mom being the driving force of the story, I just needed a little bit more of her flashbacks, walking down memory lane, maybe she has a moment. I know she is the one where she's like, okay, look at me, don't, like, talking to the person behind her. You're gonna find out about this when you're older. I wish there was a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with all of those. Going a little more in depth on Cell as a character, he is brought up a decent amount of times in the story, so you know he's important, but you don't know, like, that much about him in particular. And then also kind of bringing up why Nick didn't want to take up this position.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't really mentioned. That it was mentioned, but it wasn't in depth of a point of it's, you kind of want to know more of, like, why didn't you want to? I think that would have definitely been important in the story.
Absolutely. I agree. I know that he was talking about, like, you know, I grew up as a king, not a kid. I never got a chance to have a childhood. But when you have this whole society that's looking upon it and you were raised to be a king, why does he push it away so much? Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Like you said earlier, make Patricia less of a plot device. Mm-hmm. And maybe not have, like, thrown her into these two very intense magic worlds. I kind of wish they were more, like, related.
Yeah, like an aunt, maybe.
Yeah, and then probably have, like, at least one other person of color in the Legendborn, like, society, because it did make her an outcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially towards the end when Nick declared who his squire is. Mm-hmm. Then she was kind of, like, attacked.
I agree with all of those as well. For Patricia, does she do the root magic, or does she kind of just know about it? Because I can't remember.
I think she has some magic ability, because she, like, kind of took her down that path. She doesn't have the same ability as Bree.
Okay, interesting. I'm excited to see what that kind of plays into in the next book. But speaking of the next book, again, you've read, I haven't, so I have some possible guesses of what's going to happen, or maybe some predictions that I have. So obviously, I think that Cell and Bree are going to get together, because, like, enemies to lovers type deal. And they have that weird connection where they, like, can feel each other and have, like, their presence known. I don't 100% trust Nick. I don't know, do you?
Especially... I thought he was a villain.
Yeah.
In the first book. So I could see why you don't trust him. I thought he was a villain. But then we find out he's not the villain. He doesn't want to be in this world.
Now that Bree is the king. I'm excited to see what he's gonna do. Does he, like, resent her for it? Does he actually want it? I'm excited to see how he plays out, but I don't 100% trust him. And then the other thing was the other Bree. I have a feeling that I'm probably, like, completely overshotting it. It's not true, but I have a feeling that because Cell is Shadowborn and is part demon. I feel like maybe Bree taps into that too. Maybe she's a demon, like, Shadowborn. And, like, that's why they're so connected, her and Cell. But again, shot at Dark, but more emphasis on other Bree. She kept shutting her out on this one, so I'm excited to see what.
What do you mean, other Bree?
Yeah, she had before Bree and after Bree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I always call it the other Bree, but I think she calls her after Bree, after her mom died. So I'm excited to see where the other Bree takes her and like what it is even. So am I anywhere near anything?
You're kind of off base a little bit.
Okay, well, I tried.
They're all good thoughts.
Okay.
Not all of it's wrong, but not all of it's right.
Yeah.
I am interested in seeing where else the series will go.
That's my next question I was going to ask is, do you think there's going to be a third book?
I think there is a third. I think she's writing a third book.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool.
But the second one just came out.
Well, we're kind of coming to a close here, but before we go, we do one last thing. So we are going to do the rating scale, but we do it a little bit different here on the Bookstop. We make up our own thing. I would give Legendborn by Tracy Dion 3 therapy sessions in a cemetery out of 5. I thought it was really good. Listen to the podcast again if you don't know what are some of the things we'd like. I don't know if I would reread it again, maybe in a couple years from now. Maybe after the third book is out, I'll reread the whole series again. Wish there was just more character-driven stuff. I wish we learned more about the other characters in the book. I wish we would have gotten more William, always. And I really liked the people of color, and I liked all the LGBT representation in this book.
4 stars. I really liked the story.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the characters. I liked where it was going, the magic element. And then I couldn't stop thinking about the book for like 5 days, so then I switched it to 5 stars. I actually really enjoyed the book. The 4th book, I think I gave a 4-star, though. I mean, okay. Not the 4th book.
Oh, I totally remember
the second book. I gave a 4-star because I didn't love it as much, but I still really liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the book a lot. I think it was pretty good. The characters and the people of color. And I just think it really brought in a lot of important aspects to, mm-hmm. like, and relevant topics to today. So, as well as having the fantasy elements. And it surprised me because I didn't think I would like the King Arthur and the Round Table vibe.
Yeah.
But I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, that definitely took me by surprise because I went in completely blind. Like, I didn't look anything up about the series. So when they started doing that, I was like, okay, I love Merlin. I loved that show. That was a great show. So it was weird coming in and reading it. And yeah, it's really good at keeping it not too high fantasy, but also not too modern. It has a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming and reading this book.
Thank you for having me.
We don't have anything scheduled right now, but maybe we'll do Bloodmarked and then maybe do the 3rd book when it comes out. But yeah, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for turning the pages with us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, show your support by leaving a review, sharing the episode, and following the podcast on Instagram at @TheBookStopPodcast. Join us on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Hope you are too.